All right, Nate. I'm gonna get the energy up for the show now as you continue to whisper.
I'm ready.
Hello and welcome to Movies on the Side. I'm Steven Robles.
And I am Nate Baranowski. And some people call me a bit of a champagne problem.
Listeners, Nate is in Mexico City right now. Did you surround yourself with pillows or something so your roommate wouldn't hear you?
No, I probably should.
Did you go in like the bathroom or something?
Nope. No, that would mess up the sound quality. It's too echoey in there.
Oh, it is too echoey. So Nate, how many feet away is your sleeping roommate?
8.
8 feet away. So you're going to get another one-sided whisper episode, listeners.
But I'm committed to the podcast.
That's right. I would like to remind our listeners that through the end of this year, 2019, if you become a Patreon supporter with any amount, we're going to throw in and send you a free Mott's t-shirt. That is it's a wonderful piece of apparel. Very attractive. And if you support us with $10 or more, we'll send you a hoodie of the same Mott's branding.
I have actually been wearing my 3/4 sleeve down here. It's the perfect garment for a mild Mexican afternoon in here in Mexico City. Oh. So I've been repping Movies on the Side. So maybe we'll get some new fans.
Do you have any pictures?
No, I don't take pictures of myself.
Yes, you do. You do all the time. Your Instagram is pictures of you painting everywhere.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I just don't do it when I'm not showing off my artwork.
Oh, well, you got to get someone to at least take a picture of the Mott so we can say Mott's in Mexico. Nate!
Oh.
Mott's in Mexico.
Okay, yeah, I'll get it before this episode airs. Steven, I forgot one thing.
Oh,
we can have right now, and it can kind of be a teaser for what we like usually talk about in Patreon here in the episode.
Uh-huh.
Steven, I am going to get LASIK. I have scheduled my appointment.
Wait a minute. All right, first of all, I don't think I've ever known you to wear glasses.
Well, I typically wear contacts.
Oh.
Except these couple weeks, which I'm wearing only glasses because you can't wear contacts a couple weeks before surgery.
So, you have the surgery scheduled?
It is scheduled. It is ready to go. It is the weekend before Thanksgiving. I am going to get my eyeball sliced and diced.
Oh, my goodness. Nate, I don't...
How do you feel about this? I need your reaction. Well... Reaction video. Experts react to LASIK news.
I don't know. This is incredible. I've heard people get LASIK recently and they're saying like, oh yeah, they used to do it with like a dull axe, but now it's amazing and everybody should get it. So I've heard great things.
The legends are true. The LASIK wizard.
What made you want to get it?
I think the amount of traveling and also the fact that I desperately need an eye doctor appointment and new contacts and probably new glasses and new prescription. And I said, what if I just don't? Mm-hmm. My sister recently got LASIK. My brother-in-law got LASIK. And it is a fad that's sweeping the nation in my close circle of people I know.
Two questions. Number one.
Yes.
How is the risk percentage? Like, is there any danger anymore, or is it like basically no
sure.
risk?
Sure. I mean, there's a low percentage that there's an infection, and like even lower percentage chance that the infection, like you don't do what you're supposed to do to heal it and all sorts of things, and then you lose your sight forever. But like those percentages are like airplane crashing percentages.
Oh, okay.
Low. Right. Now, the slightly bigger percent risk, and the one that I'm worried about, is every once in a while, there's a little bit of contrast difference in what you can see after surgery.
Oh.
So usually imperceptible changes to light and dark and your vision, but I might have special eyes.
You might turn into an X-Man?
No, what I'm saying is I might not see colors as great.
Oh.
Or maybe I'm seeing colors incorrectly now and LASIK will improve that. Oh. I don't know. You got to take a risk in life.
Do you think you've been painting only in browns to this point? Do you think?
Right. You would tell me if I had monochromatic paintings, right? Yeah, these are really colorful, aren't they?
I got to say, your Incredibles painting at Disney had no red, but I didn't want to break it to
you. It was all green. I was wondering why the Incredibles were all in green.
It's all green and brown. They look like camo.
What I can gather from your reaction is that LASIK isn't something that is on your radar. You wear glasses, correct?
I do. No, I have thought about it because I try contacts periodically and I'll last a week or two and then I just get frustrated and they're uncomfortable and I stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have thought about it and considered it. So my second question was, and this is the part that, you know, I would have to consider, how is the surgery described as far as like pain or discomfort or like weirdness? Like, how is that part?
No pain. It's been described as mild discomfort. They put, like, they numb your eye up really good. They put a little suction thing around your eye. The laser does its thing. No pain, maybe slight discomfort for approximately 15 seconds per eye.
15 seconds per eye? That's it?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Wait, and so what is the suction cup they put on your eye? What is that?
I think probably just like the thing that keeps everything in place. I mean, I think they have to hold your eye open too, so there's some discomfort there. But they really numb it all up.
Oh, man.
Easy peasy.
Nate, I am immensely curious to hear how this goes.
I will report back. I'll give you the play-by-play, and that way you can have some more information. Because I think you would, enjoy LASIK. By enjoy it, I mean enjoy not having to wear glasses or contacts.
Absolutely. I would enjoy having had LASIK.
Yes.
Is the sentence there. So, well, that is immensely interesting. I would love to hear. But your sister, great experience?
Yeah. I haven't talked to her in a while about it, so maybe it all went downhill, but I think it was all good. All fine and good for her. Okay, so back to this movie.
Yes.
Let's begin.
Nate, this week we watched, I want to get this title right, Fast and the Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw.
I believe you got the very beginning of it wrong.
Wait a minute.
I think you said the in there. There is no the.
There's no the. Okay, I'm sorry.
Maybe you could also give ampersand instead of, it's not the word and.
That is true. I like that. Okay. This week, we watched Fast Ampersand Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. That is the movie for this week.
It's Hobbs ampersand Shaw, but
is it?
People here at Wheel of Fortune, we will give it to you.
Okay. Thank you.
You want a trip to Panama City?
Oh, you're right. There's two ampersands.
And Space Camp.
First of all, I think it is hilarious that the title of this movie is a franchise presents. Not a person.
Yes.
Not a movie studio.
Yes.
Not a director, but Fast and Furious.
Yes.
Fast ampersand Furious presents. Nate.
It is like Jurassic Park presents.
Yeah. Star Wars presents.
Star Wars Story did Solo. Solo, a Star Wars Story. It's sort of the same thing, right?
Well, but that feels more natural than Star Wars presents Solo.
You're right.
Like, what in the world? Okay, so you've been mentioning this movie ever since it came out.
Because I saw it in theaters.
You saw it in theaters, and you've been wanting to do this movie forever. So I would like for you to make an opening statement. Why did you want to do this movie so bad?
Okay, Steven, so here's what happened.
Steve and I watched this movie in theaters because this is exactly the kind of movie I like to watch in theaters. This movie has two very strong bald men. And as a bald man myself, they are inspirational, for one. For two, the trailers looked so full of ridiculous action that I couldn't stay away. And three, it also seemed like the exact kind of movie that Movies on the Side has made its bread and butter. Movies on the Side presents Fast and the Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw presents Bald Men Are Beautiful.
Okay. I understand the bald men really probably pulled you in on this one. Nate, I was very surprised about the Rotten Tomatoes score for this movie.
Oh, I don't even know. I don't think I could even guess.
Oh, well, I would love you to guess. Can you ballpark the tens percentage of where this landed on the critic score on Rotten Tomatoes?
Okay, here's my guess. I'm guessing that this movie knows how ridiculous it is. It constantly smiles and winks at you. So I'm guessing that the critics will be a little bit lenient with it, and I'm going to say somewhere in the 40s.
And your audience guess?
My audience guess is like 92.
The critics gave this movie 67%. On Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, even more lenient. Okay.
And then the audience is 88. So very close.
Okay. All right.
Thing. And even critic comments were majority positive. I don't understand.
I think I understand why. All right. We have much to discuss.
Yes.
Steven, you have been veiled in your opinion of this movie. Start this movie off and give me some of that Robles flavor.
Okay. And before I even do that, I just want to quote Richard Roper. his critique of this movie. He said, the cardboard standees of these guys in movie theaters across the world will have just as much depth.
Oh, that's good. That's good and that's accurate.
So here's the thing. I love Dwayne Johnson. I like him in pretty much everything. I like Jason Statham. I like Idris Elba. I even like Vanessa Kirby because I knew her from The Crown on Netflix.
And from Mission Impossible.
That's right. She was the White Widow from Mission Impossible. So I knew what I was in for. I mean, I knew this movie was just going to be over-the-top action.
Yep.
I have not seen the latest Fast and the Furious movies, Furious 789 or Fast 8.
But it's unimportant.
But now I do want to ask, is Jason Statham a part of the Fast universe now?
He is. I think he started in Fate of the Furious. No. He was in Fast... I think he was in Fast 5. He was a bad guy, basically.
Okay.
He killed Han, one of the good guys. Like, he was a bad dude.
Okay.
They sort of wiped that all away for these movies. I think maybe in 6 he came in.
Okay.
He came in around the same time The Rock came in to Fast and Furious. They both kind of entered together. And their chemistry and charisma together was enough to make the producers go, let's do a spinoff of these guys, which also... has been reported that the production of Hobbs and Shaw, Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw,
mm-hmm.
is one of the reasons why Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel had a falling out when they were working together in Fast and Furious, because Vin Diesel found out that they were going to do the spinoff thing. And he was ticked. And Vin Diesel was a producer on the Fast and Furious, so he cut some of Dwayne Johnson's scenes.
It got
bad. Man. And apparently it's because of the production of this movie.
Drama.
Bald men drama.
That's right. They're all bald men. I would just like to very quickly go through the Fast and Furious franchise titles.
Okay.
The Fast and the Furious. Too Fast, Too Furious. The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. Fast and Furious. Los Bandoleros. Fast 5, Fast and Furious 6, Furious 7, The Fate of the Furious, Fast and Furious Presents : Hobbs and Shaw, Fast and Furious 9 coming 2020, and Fast and Furious 10 coming in 2021.
And I'm sure those will probably have different names, like when they actually are produced. I'm guessing it'll be like Fast and Furious X-Files or something. Now there are aliens.
There is a movie poster for Fast and Furious 9 already, and it is literally just that title.
Oh, okay.
My last question before I start talking about the movie. The Jason Statham character, Shaw.
Yeah.
Is he supposed to be the character from the Transporter movies brought into this universe, or is that not connected?
No, he's just playing Jason Statham.
Ah, okay.
Did you see the nod to The Italian Job in this movie?
Yes, I did, with the Mini Cooper. That was very good. I liked that a lot. Okay, going into this movie, I knew it was just going to be an action fest movie. A lot of fighting and action and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't have high expectations on the story.
Sure.
That being said, it was fine. I think from the very beginning, the movie tells you, like, don't take it seriously. In the first scene, Hattie, Vanessa Kirby, is trying to get the virus, you know, in the thing. And Idris Elba shows up, who's like a cyborg in this movie. And she literally asks him, who are you? And he says,
bad guy.
Yes.
How much more on the nose can you be? And so from that very first moment, I think the movie does a good job of just saying, like, listen, don't think too deeply about this. Like, we're going to tell you everything you need to know. And, you know, just sit back and watch the action go by.
Right.
And so for that matter, it was fine. I think there were a lot of moments that were actually kind of fun and funny. When they introduce Hobbs and Shaw and, like, they do this split screen side by side.
Right, of their morning routine.
Of the morning routine, Dwayne Johnson on the left and Jason Statham on the right. Like, that was probably one of my favorite sequences in the movie because it was, I just thought, really well done, juxtaposed them well, and it was a lot of fun.
Yes.
Also fun when Jason Statham goes to the prison and talks to his mom.
Yeah, Helen Mirren.
Yeah, they were pretty fun.
In this movie, just loving it. Yes.
Speaking of breaking up, where's my birthday cake?
Well, the one with a file in it. I'm baking it.
Even the Ryan Reynolds, Dwayne Johnson conversation in the diner. That was pretty fun.
I think we can say that the cameo performances at this point in time, I think just like Helen Mirren wanted to just like, I want to be in this franchise. I think people are just wanting to jump in for like, you know, film this in 2 days sort of thing.
Yeah.
The inclusion of Ryan Reynolds and Kevin Hart, I loved it.
Right.
Yes. I thought Ryan Reynolds was great.
Ryan Reynolds was great, and it was hilarious when he's talking to The Rock and his daughter, and he's like,
she stabbed one guy in the chest using a brick. Do you know how hard that is, to stab someone using a brick?
Get to the point.
The point is there's no sharp edge. How did she get an entire brick into another person's chest?
The person has to, like, not have any bones. He was very funny there. And yes, Kevin Hart, when they're on the plane and he just pops out of nowhere, it's like, what just happened? When did he come in this movie?
Air Marshal Dinkley at your service.
I'm sorry, did you say Dinkley?
What's the problem? Dinkley. Understand this, big fella, because it's my job to observe. And you, Mr. Almighty Pants, you're a spy.
It's pretty good.
Not bad. Yeah, you wanna know what I do? I sit in a can of farts all day long. That's what I'm dealing with.
That is exactly the kind of characters that you want to just kind of pop in and be like, oh, look, it's a famous guy doing the little funny side character.
I did feel like there are many scenes when Hobbs and Shaw are just ragging on each other at length, telling the other one how dumb they are, how they're a better fighter. I feel like some of those scenes go a little long sometimes.
Yeah.
Get a little tiresome.
That's a bit of a... yeah, critique for me. We'll talk about this plot, which is garbage, but their rapport naturally is very charismatic. They just work great together. I like when, like, they're subtle, like, looks at each other. Yeah, you're showing off and I'm better than you. Like, right. Those are effective. When they get into whole scenes, they feel kind of like fifth grade juvenile, like,
yes,
quips back and forth.
Yes, exactly.
It's just like I can only hear you, like, compare each other to, like, so many times before I'm like, okay, like, I get it, you guys are like, don't like each other, but it's like,
yeah,
it's funny once, but you can only do it so many times before I go, okay, I get it.
Right,
I get it.
Okay,
romance corner.
Yes, before we get to Roman's Kinner, I just want to mention this one line so I don't forget it.
Okay.
Aside from their, like, long tirades against each other that kind of get old, sometimes they do have these little quippy comments that are pretty funny. Like when they're in Samoa towards the end of the movie.
Yes.
Shaw, like, walks in from the outside with a jacket on.
Why don't you throw another jacket on? It's 110 degrees out there.
Hey, look, down to business.
Just those little... moments like that made me laugh. So they had those good moments, and I wish they had done more of those instead of these long verbal joustings that don't go anywhere.
Or they, like, go through those two different halls fighting different dudes. Like one guy fights.
Yes, that was fun.
The one guy, and then Jason Statham fights a lot of them. Yeah, those are a lot of, like, they convey a lot of emotion just looking at each other. They didn't need to be, like, talking to each other.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm with you there. So romance corner.
So,
yes.
Dwayne Johnson's character, who is, I believe he's Hobbs, not Shaw. Correct. Sometimes I get those confused.
Yeah.
There is romantic interest between him and Vanessa Kirby, who is also Jason Statham's...
sister.
Brother. A sister. He is the brother.
Yes. That would be a twist. Yes.
May I just say, this movie has, at one point in time, a scene of six cars being hooked together... like connects and then pulled by a helicopter.
Yes.
But the most ridiculous thing in this movie is the fact that we're supposed to believe that Vanessa Kirby and Jason Statham were both kids together. He is 21 years older than her. He is 21 years older. And they're like, yeah, we grew up together. We are like siblings. She's my little sister. But then, like, it shows them, like, running a griff when they were kids.
Right.
And, like, maybe he was 10 and she was 4. I was like... I'm sorry, Jason Statham. You're a good-looking man, but you are definitely, like, in your 50s, and she is in her maybe early 30s. Maybe.
Okay, so Jason Statham was born in 1967.
So doing a little bit of math, that puts you at 52.
52. And Vanessa Kirby?
31. She was born in 88. She's my age.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, yes, I agree that...
52, 31. Brother, sister. Growing up together.
The car hooking scene at the end is still more implausible. Like,
okay.
When that started happening, like, one car, okay. Two, When you get to six and seven cars hooked together, I say, no. This is...
At least they had NOS. Okay, romance corner. All right, tell me what you think.
I feel like it really wasn't that much of a romance corner. Like, it was maybe just the last 20 minutes of the movie where they, like, look at each other longingly a couple times. And they kiss that one time briefly, maybe. I mean, it's not in the entire, like, the entire movie doesn't have it. The entire movie is not about that.
Right, right. Not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I feel like Romance Corner is kind of almost non-existent. It's not even a corner. It's like romance floor tile.
We've talked about this before in Dwayne Johnson episodes. It's very hard to have him have any romantic connection to someone just because of his size. Like, it's just hard to see this giant man kiss someone.
I mean, this is gonna, you're probably gonna disagree, but in the movie Skyscraper, I believed his relationship with his wife there.
I don't remember any of it.
It was very brief. It was basically just at the beginning when she's like telling him he's gonna do a great job.
She's not even with him anymore. She left his hulking mass.
In Skyscraper?
Yeah. She's married to a different dude.
No, you're thinking of San Andreas.
Oh, I am.
See?
Oh, I am.
No, in Skyscraper they're still married.
Oh, you're right. And she like reminds him, like, bring your razor.
That's right, exactly. See, I believe that. I believe that relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of accent that was.
I packed your angry eyes just in case.
Yeah, so, I mean, how did you feel? I mean, Romance Corner, was that even a thing?
I mean, I thought it was fun how there was, like, the one scene on the plane, which I found as, like, maybe the one interesting dialogue scene of Jason Statham being like, don't mess with my sister. And The Rock basically giving, like, which is like a 2019-ism, but like, she's a grown woman and we need to fight over if she wants to be with me, it's her choice sort of thing. I'm all down for it being like, yeah, she's an adult and she can make a decision if she wants to romantically be involved with me.
But then it just felt so weird because they had not shown any interest in each other, Dwayne Johnson and Vanessa Kirby.
Oh, I disagree. I disagree with that. You remember their fight? It was charged. There was tension.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. And they do have the little interrogation scenes.
There were little hints and little long looks.
Okay. All right. Anyway, I still feel like it's a non-existent corner.
Okay. Give me Idris Elba.
Now, Idris Elba, I like in pretty much anything.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he could have been a little more serious. I feel like he was a little jokey at times.
Sure.
Like, he goes into the hallway and talks to this faceless Etienne director or whatever, and all you see is like these waveforms on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, why do you have waveforms of the guy's phone call on the wall? Like, what is the purpose of that?
Right, because him just like on the phone wouldn't be very interesting to watch, I guess.
I mean, I like Idris Elba, full stop. And then in this movie, like, yeah, he was fine. That's fine.
He is cyborgy, which I don't quite understand. Like, he needs the machines inside of him because he was badly hurt, right? He's been, like, reconstructed, yeah. RoboCop style?
I think so, yes.
He can, like, see through his, like, bionic eyes, like, the Rock's about to punch me really hard. Dodge.
Right.
I thought it was kind of dumb that the way to defeat him is to just attack at the same time. Like, teamwork.
It makes a dream work.
Wasn't that like his kryptonite?
It did seem strange. And like, basically, if you just hit him in the back of the head, you can't see it coming. So,
right.
There's that. And then also, that heads-up display, whenever someone was about to punch him,
yes,
and like they showed how many pounds of pressure this punch is going to be and how fast, like, that seemed like a lot of information that was unnecessary to just say, dodge the punch.
And yeah, is he processing that in slow motion?
I guess, you know, they're trying. It would imply that he's processing it so fast that it's like slow motion, I guess. But
okay, and then I felt like this would be close to your heart, that you would enjoy this.
Yes.
What did you think about Idris's motorcycle?
The motorcycle was very cool.
I thought you would like that.
Yeah, that was very cool. At the, you know, the first scene or two, it just looks like a normal motorcycle that drives itself. And then when they're doing that chase scene through the streets, the motorcycle like transforms a little bit. And it did feel like Transformers for a second, like a Transformers movie. Like,
that's because the actual Transformers sound, I think, actually happened when it, like, it changed.
Yeah, it was,
Autobots, roll out.
That car chase scene was pretty fun in general. But now, I want to talk about the action of this movie.
Yes.
There's a lot of action.
Yes.
And a lot of it is fun, but I feel like I got some action fatigue.
Fatigue, yes, yes.
Like, it's just too much.
That is correct. I think there are, if the action is varied enough, I find it interesting. But I think it does some kind of repeating things that after I've seen like one fight scene with Jason Statham using like a champagne bottle or whatever, seeing him use a slightly different tool, like a frying pan or something, but basically the same. Same thing with car chases. Like, I can only see you, like, press the NOS so many times and just drive faster.
Right.
Like, you can drive a truck. You can drive a big old, like, cement mixer for all I care. If I've seen it before, about 2 minutes in, I'm ready for something new.
Yeah. So, anyway, I got a little fatigued there.
Okay, so best action scenes in this movie. I'll list mine, and I want you to list yours. So, think about yours.
Okay.
I liked the, although crazy improbable, the rappelling down the side of the building where the Rock just jumps and hopes that he lands on someone who's rappelling down the building.
Yeah.
I liked the Jason Statham with the champagne bottle.
Mm.
I liked when they were fighting in Samoa, just like on the ground with like the big old clubs, and they were throwing hammers and things.
Mama, where's all our guns?
I get rid of them.
Very noble, Mrs. Hubbs. We're in serious trouble.
And I liked the Vanessa Kirby whenever she fights someone, I'm down with that as well. Those might be the extent of my things I enjoyed in the action. Like the final scene of them fighting Idris in the rain.
It's kind of meh.
I didn't care anymore. Like I was just like, ugh.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah, I agree. So I want to say the car chase scene was one of my favorites.
Which one?
Jason Statham's driving the McLaren, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that really low car is through the streets of, I don't even know what city they're in.
And they go under that semi and he's chasing him in the motorcycle?
They go under the semi. Yeah, it's right after the scene where they rappel down.
Okay, got it.
The building. Yeah, it's right after that. So that I like that car chase. I do like when Vanessa Kirby fights, like when she fights the Rock. That's a cool scene. Yeah, hard to think.
Yeah, they kind of all sort of blend together, don't they?
I wasn't crazy about the Samoan fighting. You know, I get they're trying to do a different kind of action because they've done all the other action before this.
Right.
So, but I was kind of, and like, the whole cars hooking onto cars thing, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like,
now, the cars hooking on the cars thing, at some point in time, the front car had like a couple wheels on the ground.
Right.
And then the helicopter was pulling the rest of them off the ground. And the idea that, I'm no physics expert, but the idea that the one car, there's a lifting component. I think wheels don't necessarily keep you on the ground. They just propel you forward with like the friction of moving. So the idea that like, when you say a car grips the road, I don't think it actually means that like the back part could be pulled up and the front wheels are like, I got this. Stay on the road.
Yeah, that was just totally implausible.
What about the Rock holding that helicopter in place?
That was like a Captain America move, you know, holding the thing. And I said, oh, yeah, fine, whatever. The fact that helicopter kept flying after it seemed like an engine blew out and it was pulling seven cars, it was just ridiculous. So,
don't they survive a helicopter crash at the end?
That was, yes, I wondered that too. Like when that helicopter goes down, Vanessa Kirby's in the helicopter.
Yeah.
Like she would have totally been dead.
Yeah, no, I could believe Idris living because he's a cyborg.
Right, exactly. Yeah, totally implausible that they survived that fall. That's why that last fight scene, too, I was kind of taken out. I was like, none of these people should be alive. Like,
right.
It's ridiculous. I did, like, I was going to say, the other action scene that was kind of fun was after they're captured and chained up, and then the doctor comes out with a flamethrower.
Yes.
And, like, flamethrows at Idris Elba. There's kind of a chasey type scene where they're escaping that facility.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was kind of fun. That was a funnish scene.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah. Also, soundtrack is sneaky good. I actually listened to the soundtrack a little bit later.
Mm.
It has a couple songs also where Idris Elba raps in it.
Oh, my word.
Take a listen to that. It's not great, but it's fun because it's his voice.
That is interesting. Overall, Nate, you think we're ready to rate this movie?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Oh, by the way, no, we aren't ready because this is very important.
Yes.
The plot makes no sense.
Oh.
We haven't talked about this. Like, I wish there had been like 30 minutes of someone watching the movie, like an editor, and being like, all right, this doesn't make sense. I know that it's all excuse to go from set piece to set piece. And I know like it doesn't matter as much because it is just like a big old dumb action movie, but it needs to like make some sense. Some like the whole like she's injected with something, she has the little backpack on and the blood, Vanessa Kirby, you know, the main bad organization's like a Facebook-esque news controlling group.
It's a technology cult.
Yes, a technology cult. It's all so bad. It's all so bad that, like, it doesn't... I am sorry. I'm getting worked up. I'm going to calm down here.
You're going to go Lucha Libre over here.
Okay, here it is. If you're going to make the plot dumb and incomprehensible, instead, make the plot dumb and simple.
Yeah.
Simplify this plot. We don't need a technology cult and a little virus thing and a cyborg sort of abilities and like capturing someone and like living together in survival. Just make it, and Ryan, whatever Ryan Reynolds is doing, just make it one simple thing, and you're following around a bad guy and you're going from place to place and set to set. Or it's just a simple revenge story. Oh yeah, that was also thrown in here. Idris is like, yeah, you remember me from something?
Yeah, you shot me in the head or whatever.
Right. There are so many things. If like if you're just going from set piece to set piece, just make it a simple plot of like Carmen Sandiego. Remember Carmen Sandiego?
Yes.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? She stole the Giza pyramids. Okay, go to Egypt. Okay, she stole the Mona Lisa. Okay, go to the Louvre. Take a page out of the book of Carmen Sandiego. Just have them following some guy around the world and take them to Samoa or something.
Fast & Furious presents: Hobbs and Shaw in Carmen Sandiego. Yes, that'll be the sequel.
I'm pretty sure Elsa Gonzalez and her like Russian femme fatale, she could have just played Carmen Sandiego instead.
Yeah, that's true. That was weird.
That was unnecessary and not important to the plot at all. And I think the action wasn't cool enough to to rationalize her being in there.
The one thing I thought about, so the plot of this movie is that there's a programmable virus in these tiny little capsules that Vanessa Kirby injected into herself to prevent Idris Elba from stealing them. And unless she extracts them within 72 hours, they will kill her. But this virus is programmable to target the DNA of any specific person.
And apparently just the weak, so that the strong can survive because of Earth's overpopulation.
Yeah, Thanos.
Snapping.
The only thing I thought of was Mission Impossible 2, which has a plot about a virus.
Yes.
But it's very simple. You have a virus, and there's an antidote. They want to release the virus, so the antidote is in demand, and they make money. And so Tom Cruise is trying to destroy the virus.
Right.
Simple.
Yep.
That's a simple plot.
And in this one, it's not like Vanessa Kirby dying would have spread the virus. It was more of just like, she's the sister of Jason Statham, so we didn't want her to die.
Right. But yeah, like you're saying, I feel like it could have been much simpler. That backpack thing, it seemed like she was getting a transfusion the whole final fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched this with my wife, which I'll tell you her rating in a second. But I was like, she's basically getting a blood transfusion. How is she fighting? How is she doing anything? She's getting like a blood transfusion over 30 minutes.
Right.
It didn't make sense at all. So anyway.
It doesn't.
Well, Nate, we're going to rate this.
Yes.
On a scale of 0 to 5 flamethrowers.
Yes.
Because that's that doctor with the flamethrower is one of the most ridiculous things. But anyway, I want you to guess what my wife rated this movie.
1.
She actually did 0, but yes, the lowest rating possible. That was that was my wife's rating. No redeeming qualities for her.
I'm so excited to hear what you're going to rate it.
I will rate this movie a 2. I'm going to give it a 2. Again, a mindless action movie, I guess, still isn't enough for me. Like, if this was a disaster movie with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I would get higher marks.
Mm-hmm.
Like Skyscraper, San Andreas, I like all those better.
Not enough buildings were destroyed in this one.
Yeah, but I mean, just like, again, this, like, somehow this action, I get fatigued.
Yeah.
I don't feel that in the disaster movies that The Rock is in. I give it a 2 flamethrowers. Like, again, the opening scene with Hobbs and Shaw side by side, they're introducing them as characters. That was fun. There's some quippy moments. Kevin Hart, Ryan Reynolds. Again, like, a few redeeming moments, but overall, pretty meh. I would not spend the money renting it. I would just wait till it comes out on some of the 50 streaming services that are now available.
Right.
Yeah, 2 flamethrowers for me. What about you?
I'm going to give Hobbs and Shaw 2.5 flamethrowers. Okay. I was kind of in between the two and two and a half.
Yeah.
It is no good as a movie. But for whatever reason, the rewatchability is high, I would guess. I mean, you just saw this, right?
Yes.
Like last night saw this?
Yes.
I saw it in the summertime when it was in theaters, and I have not seen it since.
Right.
I would guess that over time, if you gave it a year or gave it a half a year, I think it would slightly sweeten. It would ripen in your mind.
Okay.
Because I want to rewatch this movie again. It's probably just as dumb, but like I miss a little bit of the action and I want to see Jason Statham and Dwayne Johnson again do their thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why it gets a 2.5 for me. I don't know if this changes anything, but at some point in time, The Rock said that he was trying to campaign to get Jason Momoa to be his brother in this movie.
That'd be interesting.
That could have done a little something for me. Would have liked to seen that. See Aquaman in there.
Yes.
But yes, 2.5, fun, dumb, incomprehensible plot, fun action.
Glowing reviews.
Go see. I mean, you should see it though. That is my recommendation. See the movie. If you like action movies, see it. You know, you can also be scrolling through Facebook or eating pizza while you do it and not paying a ton of attention. Don't try to figure out the plot.
No.
And that's all I got.
That's all you got. And you have to go because you're in Mexico City.
I have to leave now.
You have to leave right now. So thank you, listeners. At Movies on the Side, Instagram, let us know what you think. And patreon.com/moviesontheside, get a free t-shirt. All right, have fun, Lucha Libre. Lucha Libre Doris.